I'm bored, Watson. I'm bored, bored, bored. 3 days now. 3 days, and I've done everything here at home. My files are up to date. My correspondence is in order, and I've got nothing to occupy my mind.
I could suggest that you clean the room up a bit. It's a real mess. You know, Mrs. Hudson can't deal with it all.
I managed to find everything that I want. Oh, if only this weather would improve.
Well, you know what November is like. It's always foggy.
It's never quite as bad as this. Real peace super. You know, Watson, if I were a criminal and not the best detective in Europe, I consider this an ideal time to commit a crime. A man can get away with murder in this weather. He really could.
We present the stories of Sherlock Holmes. Tonight,
the man who came in from the fog. For a whole week, fog had enshrouded London like a thick white blanket. It was quite impossible to get out and about. In these circumstances, Sherlock Holmes was not an easy person to share rooms with.
Oh, quite extraordinary, Watson. Even the newspapers have little to report. Oh, wait a minute. There is something here. Strange that it should be hidden away like this.
Oh, well, what is it, Holmes?
A convict has escaped from Spotsford Infirmary.
Oh, well. It's not a hospital or a prison. It's a mental institution, isn't it? I distinctly remember it as a place where they put prisoners whom they think are unbalanced, a sort of criminal asylum. Yes, it's situated just outside of Winchester. I remember now, I had a patient who ran foul of the law and was sent there.
Oh, what a miserable fate.
Oh, what does it say, Holmes?
Well, I'll try to be brief. It's reported that Conrad Müller, an Austrian convict, made a daring escape from Spotsford Infirmary a few days ago. It's believed that he's now in London. Reliable sources say he's been seen in the district of Paddington Station 2 nights ago. He's a large man, 6'2" in height, fair hair, blue eyes, bushy moustache. Speaks good English. He's reported to be dangerous, and anyone seeing this man is requested to report his whereabouts to the nearest police station.
Well, doesn't it say what he was convicted for, or how long the sentence was?
No, that's all. Curious. Well, I confess I should be extremely puzzled as to how to go about tracing that man. As I've said, in these foggy conditions, it's practically hopeless. Of course, he'll be in hiding, and he'll seek the company of men who speak his own language. Earl's Court has a very large percentage of German-speaking people. Yes, I'd try the cheap restaurants in that area, but... Oh, well, I'm not in charge of the case. I shall leave it all to our old friend, Inspector Thorne. There's nothing for it but to settle down by the fire, smoke a pipe or two, and practice on my violin. Here, Watson, you take the photo.
Oh, thank you. There's news of another Austrian. The famous pianist Grete Bremstein is to hold a recital at the Kingsway Hall. Program of Chopin, Brahms, and Mozart. That should be quite delightful. Shall we try to obtain tickets, Holmes?
Yes, why not? We'll give us something to look forward to.
Excuse me, sir. But would it be possible to spare me a few minutes?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Hudson. What is it? Is something wrong?
Not with me, sir. It's my brother, Fred. You remember? You've met him several times. He runs a sort of boarding house in the old Brompton Road. Well, he's walked here. All the way in the fog. Could you see him for a minute?
Well, if he's walked all that way, how can I say no? Yes, tell him to come in.
Right, thanks ever so. Fred!
Right.
You can come up.
Right, you are. Ah, good morning, Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson. I'm sorry to disturb you like this.
No, not at all, Fred, not at all. Something must be worrying you. Come, take a seat by the fire. Would you like some coffee? It's still quite fresh.
Oh, no, thanks. I'll just add some in the kitchen.
Well, I'll clear the things away, then. No, you don't be taking up too much of this gentleman's time, Fred. I'll be downstairs when you're finished. I've got a lot to do. Oh, things get so darn mucky in this weather.
Well, now, Fred, What is it that you want to talk about?
Well, it's a bit awkward, like. I don't quite know if it's worth wasting your time, but the fact is that, well, I run this boarding house, as you know. It's a very respectable place. The missus started it when she passed on. Rest her soul. Oh, I took over. I've been at it for some years now. It suits me. I'm no longer young, and it gives me something to do, and it pays me way. Well, a couple of nights ago, I answered the door. It was a young man standing there.
You say that you have no vacancy, sir.
Sorry, we're full up. I've been for some weeks. Who put you on to me?
Oh, the cafe at the end of the road. They said you took in boarders.
Well, I'd like to be able to help you. The fact is, well, you seem in rather a bad way.
I am. I'm quite desperate. I have money. I can pay in advance. I will accept anything just for a few days.
Well, there is a top room, a sort of attic. I can't say it's all that comfortable, but I suppose I could put a trestle bed up there.
Yeah.
Not much space to hang things.
Well, I have very little. Just this one suitcase and my violin. That is all my luggage.
Ah, a musician, are you?
Yeah, that is correct. Then I can get an engagement. Please do consider renting me that attic room.
Well, look, come through to the back parlor and have a cup of tea with me. The kettle's on. Then, if you'd like to take a deco at the attic, come along. This way.
Thank you very much. You are very kind.
As I say, the attic's small, but it's clean enough. It won't let in the rain. We'll have to give you plenty of blankets. That's all. In here. Oh, Laura. You're already getting the tea, are you? Good girl. This is our star boarder, Laura Knight. She gives me a hand all the time. Real treasure she is. Laura, this is... Oh, I don't think you gave me your name, did you, young fella?
Oh, it is Karl Mannheim. Karl Hans Mannheim. I'm very pleased to meet you, Miss Knight.
Do come in and have some tea. I have chairs there by the fire.
Thank you.
She'll be ready any minute.
Carl's looking for a place to lay his head for a bit, Laura. Oh, I've told him that we're full up, but I'm going to take a look at the attic, see if we can't fix him a bed up there. Just temporary-like.
Well, if I can help in any way...
No. Just you stay here and give him some tea and toast, and I'll trot on up and see what can be done. Might have to ask you to give me a hand with the bed, Carl, but...
Oh, yeah.
In this weather, you simply can't stay out in the streets, can you? It shan't be all that long. Just make yourself at home. Well, now, Mr. Holmes, I just left them there and went about my business. But I had a strange feeling, a premonition, I suppose you could call it. It was as though those two young people had met each other before. Oh, I can't explain it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, this fellow Carl took the attic room and everything seemed fine. Other boarders don't take much notice of him, perhaps on account of him being a foreigner. But then I happened to pick up a newspaper where I read about this fellow's escape from a loony bin. It's very odd, but you see, the description of the man from Spotswood Infirmary and this Austrian bloke, well, they fit. Carl is large and blonde, blue eyes, well, I don't know. Perhaps I shouldn't be thinking this, but it worries me.
Mm. Yes, I suspected you to say something like this. Tell me, is there no other means of identifying this man?
Well, not that I can tell. You see, he's paid up money in advance. He's quiet and well-behaved. I really have no complaints, but, well, if he is this bloke, Conrad Muller, the escaped convict, well, I don't want him living in my house, and I don't want him hanging around a nice girl like Laura Knight. Now, what do you think I should do?
I think you should leave the matter in my hands. Now go home and carry on as though you had no suspicions. I'll see to the rest. That's a promise.
Holmes appeared not to let Fred's visit disturb him at all, but it did give him something to think about. He relaxed in his comfortable chair with his favorite pipe, unlit, clenched between his teeth, when Inspector Thorne of Scotland Yard was shown in. Thorne was obviously upset and came straight to the point.
We almost got him, Holmes. Split-second timing. If it hadn't been for this blasted fog, we should have got him.
I take it that you're talking about the escaped convict, Comrade Mueller?
That's right. We had a tip-off from the Boltons near Earl's Court. A foreigner answering to Mueller's description was acting very furtively. I got some men down there, and the fellow made a dash for it. One of our fellows caught up with him. He picked a brick out of the gutter and clobbered him over the head. Blood all over the place. I don't doubt that it was Mueller. Big and blonde. So near and yet so far, eh?
Bolton's pub. That's Earl's Court, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, at least you know that he is in London and in that area.
Yes. But he must know now that we're on to him, so he'll be extra careful. You got any ideas, Mr. Holmes?
No, not at the moment, Thorne. There's not enough data. I cannot work without facts. I do not go on vague impressions. I've told Watson that the area I should search would be that of Earl's Court and the Old Brompton Road. You know that that is where this man must be hiding. Now, get your men down there and hope for the best. That's all I can advise at the moment.
Sherlock Holmes never worked on instinct, but lots of people do. Women, more than men. And one woman who realized that things were not as they appeared was Laura Knight, Fred's favorite boarder.
Oh, Laura, what are you doing in my room?
Oh, I came to put this stone-hot water bottle in your bed, Carl. You've been out all evening. I was worried about you.
I have been working. Playing violin, I got a job for the night at a restaurant.
Is that the truth? Carl, you need a friend, don't you? I know you do, and there is something wrong, dreadfully wrong. Won't you tell me what it is, Carl? Won't you tell me everything?
The fog lifted slightly overnight. It was still bitterly cold, but traffic managed to quicken, and I was able to make my morning calls. When I returned, about midday, I found Sherlock Holmes hard at work. His desk was covered with papers, journals, and timetables. He appeared quite unconcerned about the mess he was making. Mrs. Hudson bustled in with a luncheon tray.
Oh, Dr. Watson, I didn't know you'd be back. I've just got Mr. Holmes some light lunch. Liver and bacon. Do you want some? It won't take a minute.
You can have mine, Mrs. Hudson. I'm not hungry.
Oh, well, that's good enough for the two of you. Here you are. Oh, and there's a gentleman to see you, Mr. Holmes, and Mr. Cartwright. Wouldn't state his business, but he's in a bit of a hurry.
Oh, then show him in, Mrs. Hudson. Show him in.
Very good. But I do think food comes first in this sort of weather. So hold on a minute. Come this way, please, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I must apologize for this intrusion. You are Mr. Holmes?
That is right. And this is my trusted friend and colleague, Dr. Watson.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you. I'm Basil Cartwright. I know I should have made an appointment, but, well, the fact is that I acted on the spur of the moment. I have a problem, and I think you may be able to advise me.
Well, please, do sit down. Throw those books onto the floor. That chair is really quite comfortable.
Thank you. I'll come straight to the point. You have heard of Greta Bremstad?
The Austrian pianist, yes, yes, of course. She's due to give a recital here. Watson and I hope to go.
That is correct. Well, I'm her manager. I'm promoting this season, and I hope to take Fräulein Bremstad to the States later on. Now, I don't know how much you're aware of the difficulties in looking after famous personalities, Mr. Holmes, but it isn't easy. Temperaments, that sort of thing, they can be one handful.
Yes, so I believe. Do carry on.
Well, I just can't afford anything to go wrong. I don't want Greta upset in any way. But just recently, we've been having some disturbing correspondence. Here, take a look at this. It's the usual type of anonymous note. Pasted letters stuck on a plain paper. But it's a nasty note.
This will be your final performance. You will not play again. For tonight, you die. Have you had other notes like this?
A couple. They were sent to the Kingsway Hall. I open all correspondence. I call the others up. Thought it was just a silly joke, but... Well, I guess it's better to be careful, so I came to you. I just can't afford to take chances.
Why didn't you go straight to the police?
I don't want any unwelcome publicity.
The British police are rather more tactful than you think, Mr. Cartwright. I would advise you to go to my friend Inspector Thorne of Scotland Yard. I am just a private investigator. What you need is the protection of the law. Fräulein Bremston must have a personal bodyguard day and night. Only the police can provide that.
I see. So you judge that this is a serious matter?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Very serious. There is a telephone on the wall over there. Bow Street is the nearest office. They will give you all the information you need. I advise you to act at once.
Mr.
Holmes never ceased to surprise me. The moment Cartwright had made his call, Holmes ushered him out of our rooms and then began to dress in his warmest things. He urged me to join him, and we were lucky enough to get a hansom at the street corner. I guessed where we were going, to the boarding house at Old Brompton Road. But Fred Smith was out, and it was Laura Knight who answered the door.
Sorry, but Mr. Smith's out at the moment. I can't say when he'll be back.
Ah, well, we are friends of his, you see. We wanted to know if there were any vacancies. I understand that he's even renting out the top attic. Is that occupied?
Oh, yes. A young Austrian man has it. His name is Karl Mannheim. Well, he isn't here at the moment either.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you. There's no message. Good day.
Good day to you.
Oh, really, Holmes, what an abortive visit. Was it really necessary to drag me all the way down here in this weather just for this?
Now, things are considerably more complicated than I thought, Watson.
Oh?
It's necessary that I get into this house. I observe there's an iron fire escape at the east side of the block. But just step back, Watson. The front door is open.
Look, Holmes. Isn't this the young woman, Laura?
And a clip back by the railings, Watson.
Right.
She's looking around. And, yes, someone is coming out.
An arch fellow carrying a violin case. Well, Holmes, that must be him.
Yes, follow him, Watson. I doubt if he'll take a cab. Don't attempt to stop him. Just get as near to him as you can and observe everything that he does. Well, now is my chance to get into the house. Now, hurry, Watson, hurry.
I did exactly as Holmes instructed. I hurried forward, and for some time I managed to keep him in sight. He was an easy man to follow, and the only one in the street who was carrying a violin case. But at the corner of Brompton Way, he suddenly disappeared. I couldn't be sure if he had taken a horse bus or vanished down a side street, but I lost him. I wandered around hopelessly and then realized that I'd failed once again. I returned to Baker Street. When Holmes came home, I fully expected him to be annoyed with me, but he wasn't.
Well, that's of no real consequence, Watson. I could hardly have expected you to give up the rest of your day tramping about in the fog, but did you get a good look at the man?
Oh, not really. Just his size. Well, he was all muffled up. Hat, scarf, thick cape, but well, he didn't behave in the ordinary manner, Holmes. It was as though he knew he was being followed. He kept glancing over his shoulder. Holmes, I know I'm just guessing, but I'm sure this is the wanted man. I'm sure this is Conrad Muller.
Are you, Watson? Well, you have your theories, and I have mine. But about one thing, I'm sure we agree. We shall both enjoy the recital at the Kingsway Hall this evening. Yes, I have tickets, and it'll be very entertaining. I'm sure of that.
I have never been able to understand the strange changes of moods which Holmes often indulged in. But I knew better than to question him. I finished all my work and was happy to join him at Kingsway Hall. There was a vast crowd outside. Holmes, there's a vast crowd here. We have our tickets. Why wait outside? They're queuing right round to the stage door.
Yes, I know, Watson. That's what I'm interested in. Yes. Yes. Listen. Yes, yes, that's what I wanted to know. See, Watson? See?
What, the busker entertaining the queue? Holmes, you don't think...
Everything will be all right now until after the performance. Patience, Watson. Patience. Come, we should go inside and enjoy ourselves.
We did enjoy ourselves, and Greta Bremstein excelled herself. Seldom have I known the piano played with such sensitivity. She was not only technically perfect, but was able to judge each composer with the correct emotional strength. I forgot my worries, became absorbed in the performance, and eventually joined in the rapturous applause with the greatest enthusiasm. But Holmes took my arm. He swiftly led me out of the hall and round to the stage door. It seemed that we waited for hours. The crowd was excited, expectant. The doors opened, and Greta Bremstein appeared.
Here she is, Holmes.
Stand back.
Here she is.
Stand back. Let the lady get to her cab. Stand back.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone. Thank you.
I'm sorry. No autograph. Sorry. Sorry. Please. Oh, please, please. No autograph. Let the lady get to her cab. Please.
What's up?
Oh.
Watch. There, there. This way. Bring that back down. Lock it up.
All was utter confusion. No one knew what was happening. There was a pistol shot and screams. The crowd panicked. Greta Bremstown, near fainting, was bustled into a waiting four-wheeler. I lost Holmes in the sudden confusion. Inspector Thorne and plainclothes men tried to control the mob, but it was a long time before it all died away and the remainder of the crowd dispersed in an orderly fashion. It was then that Holmes appeared from the mist.
I'm Watson. The tragedy has been averted. There's still much to do. I have a hansom cab waiting. The end of the story must be back at the boarding house in Old Brompton Street. Come.
It was clear that an attempt had been made on the life of the famous Austrian pianist. Who was responsible was not known. I followed Holmes quite blindly, but realized that Inspector Thorne's men were also with us. When we reached the house, Fred Smith seemed quite bemused.
But everyone's asleep, Mr. Holmes, forced asleep. There was a deal of trouble a little earlier, but nothing to bother about.
The man Carl Mannheim and Laura Knight, they are in their rooms?
Yeah, I suppose so. Look, I don't want no trouble.
You won't get any. Just do as I say. Now, let's go up to the top attic, you understand? I promise you there will be no trouble.
Carl, is everything going to be all right?
Yes, no need to worry.
I'm so sorry. I have tried to help.
But you have been wonderful to me, Laura. I shall never be able to repay you.
Oh, you don't have even to think about it.
But how is it that you knew? You guessed, didn't you?
I think so. I don't know. I just knew that you were in trouble and that you needed someone.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. He is waking. There will be no more trouble tonight. And in the morning, well, you must leave that to me. Now go to your own room. Try to sleep. We'll talk again later. Please go.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but believe me, this is the best thing. You have to face facts. Your brother must be handed over to the police. You realize that, don't you?
Inspector Thorne and his men came in quietly and took Karl Müller, for that was his right name, and his brother Conrad, away. Holmes managed to calm Laura Knight and assured Fred Smith that his boarding house would be kept out of the news. Later, back in our rooms in front of the fire, he explained.
You see, Watson, well, I had an idea that the two Austrian cases were linked together. I knew they were connected in some way, and so I investigated both. In the case of Carl, I established that he couldn't have been the escaped convict. He had a bushy moustache, for one thing.
Yes, for Holmes, so did Conrad. That was the description that was given of the man.
Quite so. But a guilty man on the run would make shaving off his moustache the very first thing to do. Carl didn't, and his twin brother did. I knew I was right from the moment I got up that fire escape and into the attic room. There were papers there that showed that Carl had come from Austria before his brother Conrad escaped from that infirmary. So he couldn't have been the man we wanted. But his real name was Müller, and not Mannheim. The inference was clear. But why did he journey to England? Because he had a twin brother, and because he knew Fräulein Greta Bremston was about to perform here. You see, it all fits. Every little link. You'll find that many years ago, Greta Bremston was engaged to be married to Conrad Müller. She left him because of her career. At least, that's what the embittered, neurotic man thought. He had brain fever. He came to England and drifted into a world of crime. Somehow, he heard of Greta's visit to this country. He escaped and set out to gain revenge on the woman he thought had ruined his life. His twin brother came over to try and help, and he did. Well, thank goodness that no one has been hurt by all this. Perhaps some good may come out of it. Laura Knight may help. If she and Carl find happiness, then these foggy days we've been through won't be so bad after all.
Listen again next Sunday to The Stories of Sherlock Holmes, with Graham Armitage as Holmes and Kerry Jordan as Dr. Watson.